Am I on? Is it on? On. Okay. I told Mike I have some really interesting good news to report tonight, some things that maybe ought to be reported, and I'm thinking perhaps there are some of you that do not know this stuff because it's not on the news. But anyway, what I want to first share with you is beach reach. Beach reach. Do any of you know what that is? Well, guess what? This is the week that all of the kiddos go to the beach. And beach reach is a Christian effort. These kids go down to the beach on the Texas coast. They do not go out of the country. They stay on the Texas coast. But these are all kids that are going in this organization that they call the Beach Reach. They go to the beach. They go in vans. The vans are numbered and named, and they decorate them up. They use the vans to give those students that are down there celebrating a little bit too much a ride back to their residence in the middle of the night. So if they've had just a little too much sand and water and other stuff, then they get a free ride in the van. And since the van has a name like Dipsy Doodle or something like that, then they can remember that the next night they can get a free ride with Dipsy Doodle. When they get in the van, they are preached to by the students that go down there. This van is available round the clock from the time they start And so the students that go have hours that they have to serve, and the midnight hour is the best hour to catch people to persuade them to be baptized tomorrow night. And they are doing it. And guess what? If you will get on whatever it is that you get on, that electrical stuff that I know absolutely nothing about, but if you get on it, and you use the number sign and then put BRSTI 23, you can get on and see the video of those kids in the van talking to those kids that have a little too much sleep. So, now, you can't eat pancakes. The kids that are riding in the van can eat the pancakes, but you can see everything going on, I am told. And if you'll recall, this is exactly the project that Annika went on last year, and they persuaded people to accept Christ. And tomorrow night, apparently, they will have baptisms in the ocean, despite the fact that it's really too cold for them to go in the water. But anyway, tomorrow night they're supposed to be broadcasting that tomorrow. It's the number sign, BRSTI 23. Huh? B is in boy, Robert, Spencer, Pierce, Independence, 23. Now, I got some more good news. And I don't imagine any of you have heard about this, but this is called FTS. Anybody know what it is? FTS. Fill the stadium. Fill the stadium is this. This is a project that's been, the church in Oklahoma has been working on with the University of Oklahoma to fill the stadium with people to hear the word of Christ. They've been working on it for 10 years off and on, trying to work out to use the Oklahoma football stadium for this project to teach the word of Christ, to actually reach out and bring people to accept the Lord. This program has not been approved until the night revival at the University of Asbury started. That day it was approved. That day it was approved. So they are going forward with this program to fill the stadium. I got some more good news. The coffee shop ministry. This is a little more personal, but this is my granddaughter, Annika. And she's made a habit of doing part of her work going to a coffee shop. Now, we're not talking about the big coffee shop. She tries to find one that sells, hot dogs and hamburgers and pancakes and French toast and that type of stuff. She tries to find a place like that that will let her do her work, and then she watches the people that come in. As is her habit, then she tries to make contact with somebody that's there by themselves drinking a cup of coffee. No, she's not singing or doing anything like that. She just tries to make contact with somebody, either a really old man that's harmless or some young girl that is close to her age, or a woman that she feels needs somebody to talk to. So she talked to this girl who is trying to raise money to go on the mission trip. She's younger than Annika, and she is 57% of her funds going. Anybody that wants her name, I can pass this on to you. But the interesting thing is that Annika has undertaken to meet at the church with a group of wood carvers. They're old men that are harmless, I think. In any event, some of them have agreed to try to help this young lady get. So, anyway, the good news. That's the good news. Most of you, and Pat probably knows more about it than I do, but most of you know we had the gendarmes, the police, captured the young man next door last night while we were having the services here. He ran right across in front of this door. Pat Flanagan came up after that and asked me if I had this locked, and we'd let Gene in the front door, and I think you ran an errand or something, and so I didn't get it locked. I'm embarrassed. But anyway, he ran on by, thank goodness. So, anyway, they tased him, I understand, to capture him. Pat Flanagan, I think, followed the police all the way out here. Okay. So, anyway, remind me to double check those doors. Now, I would like to mention a couple of other things that are that I got out of the news that I think are relevant. And I knew this was an issue, but I didn't really understand the full extent of it. The unemployment numbers are reported now as being way down. And Dave Ramsey, who is the guy that does the financial things, was on the radio, and he said, well, this is not true. It's not true. And the reason is because there is in the United States 7 million men 20 to 45 years of age that are living with mama or a girlfriend and not working. So it's not a true accurate record. And that made me think of my former secretary, and she had two hulking boys that 6'4", 6'6", big guys, very handsome, dark hair, muscular, looked really like Michelangelo's David. And one of them still doesn't have a job, and it's been 20 years since he graduated. So, anyway, that's attributable to the takeoff on the women pushing the men out, and some of the, anyway, that's what Dave Ramsey said. And then the other thing is that, see if I have. Oh, the banking thing is atrocious, and that's resulted in Obama making a executive order, which essentially Biden, which has made an executive order, which will render the banks totally under the government control. So. I don't recommend chasing to the bank right after the meeting here and getting all your money out, because then you just aggravate the situation with our bank, and we don't need that here. But that's what happens. So anyway, and I think we've got troubles brewing with the banking thing. So let's go to the prayer. I am doing this study because of what happened really to Annika the other three Wednesdays ago, when she went to church and she wanted to sing Christian songs, and the people that had their precious little kids there didn't want to do that because their kids didn't want to do that, and the whole thing was they wanted to do their rat-a-tat-tat, rum-a-tum-tum songs that they sang in their social groups and not do the Christian songs. And Annika's attitude was that 15 minutes of singing Christian songs with a Christian meaning, and you see that what really happens with youth and children, and particularly the younger children, but as you grow older and as we become old folks, it's really true. The music we sing, a lot of times, it's some of the best theology we learn. And if it isn't biblical, then we're not doing what God would have us do to share His Word. So, one of the things that Annika told me that they teach her at the school is that once you walk through these doors and you are sitting here, your preferences don't matter anymore. only thing that really matters once you walk through that door is the message correct? It's the only thing that matters. So, anyway, in that line then, I started looking at worship. We come to the church for worship. And there's collateral reasons. There's a lot of friendships here, and there's relationships that have developed, and the leaders have developed a relationship with each other, and we've come to really love Jennifer because she'll come play the piano for us when we have absolutely nobody else. And I hope she doesn't get the idea that's the only reason we love her, but anyway, we do. So there's other reasons for coming. But Lewis Sperry Schaeffer defines worship as, and you'll have fun with this, because even I can't follow it, but anyway, that's the adoration. Worship is the adoration of the heart of the Christian as he expresses his praise and intercession to his heavenly Father in the name of Christ Jesus. Well, Schaeffer then adds, prayer and praise are the principal elements of worship. And we studied the prayer a couple of times ago. But he says that the study of prayer and praise in the Old Testament reveals a progression of revelation and increasing privilege. So as the chapters in the Old Testament go forward, we should be growing in revelation and what we understand, and in increasing the privilege of prayer. And when we get to the New Testament, what he's, I think, suggesting is that we should have a better understanding in the New Testament of what worship really is. When I was traveling, I went out to Washington University in the state of Washington, and there was a student there that was doing an interesting thing. He was collecting church programs. And if I went to a church on my travels on my way out there, if I stopped at a church, he wanted me to bring the program to him. And if I had a home church that I had a program from, he wanted the program. He wanted the document that we look at for the order of worship. Because he was comparing whether they started with prayer, or whether they started with a song, and how they did that. Did they sing three songs and then have a prayer, or did they sing one song, have a prayer, and sing another song? Anyway, he was interested in that. And then I was thinking, while I was thinking of that guy, I was thinking of the Boy Scout trip to Italy and how they took us into the Sistine Chapel, and they told us, you know, that's 90 feet up there in that chapel, and Michelangelo laid on his back. And since that's curved, he's got to paint that so that it looks realistic from down here on the floor. But if you got up there and really got close to it, it isn't going to be the right shape at all. And you wonder, and what kind of service does that give us, a good service? The Boy Scouts leaving camp and full of all the bug bites, all the dirt we could collect on the way back home, go by the little church. I told you about stopping in there. There must have been 12 people in there. We caked 40 Boy Scouts into this little tiny church. We were sitting on the floor against the wall, leaning up against the wall. You see, preference didn't matter to the Boy Scouts probably at all, because we probably didn't understand that. But that's a point where preference doesn't really matter, because we're there to hear the word. And they gave us the word. Had special teams in college. We had special teams that would, I was a Methodist student with the Methodist church there on campus, and they had what they called deputation teams, and they asked me to give the message with these deputation teams, and we'd go out into the country to the tiniest church we could find, and we would bring 12 students. One would sing with the guitar, one would play the piano, one would give a little lesson if he had one or could understand to give it. And we ended up at an Indian community where they were pretty much all Indian. And real lifeblood Indians. You see the video of the African Americans where in Africa that are being taught to the Bible and dancing. Your military and the Air Force deployment, because on those deployments in the military, you know, church is kind of quick sometimes. It's where you are. Whether you're sitting in a hole that you dug or whether you're in the canteen doing the dishes this day or peeling potatoes, it's where you are, and you go to the service, however you're dressed. Preferences really didn't matter. It was a question of whether you got the message or not. Boy Scouts at the World Boy Scout Jamboree in 1963, Bad Ischl, Austria, big church service. They piped it out in every language of the boys there, so that you could get the earphones and listen to it from church service. I had a deaf friend that was my printer for a number of years, and he was pastor of a church, a deaf church. He worked on the phones that did the dots, and I don't know how that works, but it was electronic, and the phone company had those machines, and so you could call up, and the light would go on their phone, and they could pick up their phone, and then somehow the dots and dashes appeared somewhere so they could get the whole message. And that's the way that he preached, with those dots and dashes. You know, when we look at worship in the very early times, we can kind of see some interesting types of worship. So, look at Psalm 33. I'm going to be in Psalms here for a couple of three verses. So, Psalm 33, 1 verses 3. 33, 1 verses 3. Psalm 33, 1 through 3. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and the instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Look at all the information there in that short. Rejoice in the Lord, that's in there. Praise the upright, for the upright, that's in there. Praise with a harp, that's in there. Sing unto him, that's in there. With a psaltery. What's a psaltery? It's an ancient stringed instrument. Usually 10, 12 strings or something as I looked it up, but it's an ancient stringed instrument. But it also, the word psaltery does kind of suggest or infer the Psalms, so the Psalms, psaltery. And six, an instrument with 10 strings. Is that a zither? Well, I looked up zither, and a zither is a box like a guitar thing with 40 to 50 strings, so it's not a zither because a zither doesn't have that many strings, because it says less strings. Sing a new song. So don't rely just on the old ones, and maybe a new song is okay. Play skillfully. Learn to play the piano, like Jennifer's done. So we have somebody here that can really play the piano. And And then number nine, with a loud noise. Hey, wait a minute. I thought we were supposed to be reverent. Okay, that's what it says. So anyway, I'm going to turn over to Psalm 34 now, 1 through 4. Next page on mine, Psalm 34, 1 through 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all of the fears. And here we go again. See, there's a lot in there. There's a lot packed in there. Bless the Lord. Praise continually. Boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear. Humble shall be glad. Magnify the Lord. Look closer at the Lord. See, magnify him. So you're actually looking at closer at him. Exalt his name. Sought the Lord. Be delivered from my fears. Be delivered from my fears. Surprise. Wow. That's in what they suggest in what we do. Wow. Well, I'll turn to Psalm 150. Last one. Psalm 150, the last one. Psalm 150, and I'm going to read all six verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Anything I didn't see in there that I think would be make a little noise is a drum. I didn't see that percussion instrument listed in there. And yet when we go out to Colorado Springs to visit our family out there and they take us to their church, now bear in mind, you see, our preferences don't matter once we're inside that sanctuary. And what we get once we get in that sanctuary, you see, is we're standing in almost a totally dark auditorium because everybody's standing. And up on the stage, they have this glass that covers the back half of the stage, and behind that glass are the drums. And they're loud, even with the glass, so loud that I mean, we could have easily, you see, preference would be we would about what Lewis Schaefer said, but Wendell Johnson in his workbook, co-authors in that are Don Campbell, Wendell Johnson, John Volvard, and they say that Jesus emphasizes two things in worship. And they say that the Hebrew words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, those Hebrew words, especially in the Old Testament, refer to two things. One is equivalent of bow down, and they take it to suggest that that's to pray. And the other Old Testament Hebrew word that they use, and the Greek word also suggests servants. And then they, of course, go to John 4:24 and say, worship then is to be in the Spirit and in truth. So that's kind of where they stand. So I went back to Schaefer, and he suggests worship is a form of sacrifice. Now, hey, wait a minute, I thought sacrifices were a past say. No longer do we sacrifice, and no longer we do that. And he's calling worship should be, he's saying worship should be a sacrifice, or is a sacrifice. Indeed, as you all know, the blood sacrifices were discontinued, but what is a sacrifice? Aren't we glad we don't have to do the blood sacrifices? Aren't we glad that the animals that only cover sin is past because Christ has died for us, and that's the ultimate sacrifice? Now all we have to do is believe in Christ, and then we worship. We should worship. But what does it mean? Do we sacrifice? What is the sacrifice? Whitmer, Ballard, Campbell, Johnson suggest that in their commentary that sacrifice and offering are the same thing. So maybe not the same thing that you and I would think of as a sacrifice. Well, it's a dictionary definition. How does that help us? Does that help us? Offering is the same. Offering something to the deity. Now we're getting into the offering, not necessarily the sacrifice of a human being in propitiation. That's to appease or to calm, or pacify or satisfy. Special respect in the Christian dictionary. Special respect to propitiation. Another definition of sacrifice is a victim offered in sacrifice. Another definition is a forfeiture of something of value for something of greater value. I don't really see that as a sacrifice. I see that as a contract. I'm coming to that. I'm getting there. Something so forfeited, relinquishing of something of value, and then something so relinquished is a sacrifice. And then to offer sacrifice to a deity is a definition. To forfeit is a sacrifice. To sell or give. At a loss is a sacrifice. To make an offer or a sacrifice. And so, Ruth's going to steal my thunder here, but anyway, sacrifices and offerings are used interchangeably. So, in truth and fact, the Levitical sacrifices have been discontinued. And they only covered, according to some authors, intentional sins. Everything brought to God in worship is being viewed as being offered to Him. Everything that we come to God and offer in worship. And Jesus says in Mark 12, 33 and 34, love the neighbor is more important than any burnt offering. It's a precursor of what Christ is doing by his sacrifice. No more blood sacrifice, but we do we sacrifice? Should we sacrifice? What does the Bible say? So now we get into what Lewis Schaeffer would have us understand. Let's turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Ruth really jumped the gun, but she's really right. We dedicate our bodies. Christ did. Why shouldn't we? To the Christian faith. We give our bodies to the Christian faith. If we don't give the whole thing, then we really aren't committed. So if we don't give the whole body, if we preserve part of it for our thing, and those of us that are here know that we all try to do that, there's part of it, or our thing. So, given the whole body, the sacrifice that God made, Christ made, was the whole deal. Every minute, every day. Oh, the whole thing. And this is saying, we give our bodies to Christ. The whole thing. As a living sacrifice. As a reasonable service. We give our bodies. And that's just Romans 12. So, well, interesting thing is, though, when you see this, what this is showing us is that if we believe, God accepts us. As what? Saints. As priests. He accepts us as that. But if we commit our bodies, our whole bodies, he says it's acceptable and perfect will of God. See, this, when he says acceptable here, he's talking about being approved. Not just being accepted as a priest, but being approved. It's his acceptable service. It's acceptable, perfect for God, doing his will. So, sacrifice of the body. Well, okay. So, turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Praise him. Sacrifice of praise. Over and over again, we praise him. We'll go to 16. But also to do good, and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. So God approves. God approves of that kind of service and that kind of sacrifice. And he is saying in Hebrews 13, praise God, do good, communicate, which would evaluate and suggest stewardship, evangelism, sharing the service, because he's saying to communicate as part of the sacrifice. So it's all there. With these, God is well pleased, he says in Hebrews 13:16. So God, if you believe, God accepts you and you're approved if you do what he says. Preferences. In our church service, the order of service is not so important. The music we sing is not the die-all, the be-all, the ends-all. So, preferences go out the window once we come through that door. Question is, are we teaching? Teaching the word, and God sees that as a sacrifice. We're sacrificing to do it, as Ruth suggested, that our time and our efforts on behalf of God are a sacrifice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your verses, your word, the blessings you give us, the days you give us, the wisdom that you share with us. We pray, Father, that with all that's going on in this world, that we stand firm, stand with you, seek your will, follow your will, and do your work, your service, and be obedient servants. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.